live from the Public Relations Department of the Royal Thai Government. This is Radio Thailand News.
Swadee Kup. Today is Saturday, March 23rd, 2024, and this is Radio Thailand's Midday News Hour. I'm Benjamin Ruchopakan, making the national headlines this lunchtime. The Royal Thai Police unveils new directives following the reassignment of the Commissioner General and his deputy amid a dispute over an online gambling case. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Interior holds the initial 2024 session of the subcommittee and working group dedicated to cracking down on influential figures. Looking at the global scene, at least 40 people are killed and over 100 injured when gunmen opened fire on people at a Russian concert near Moscow. On the business agenda, trade officials in Thailand showcase lifestyle and fashion items from local enterprises at the Style Bangkok Expo. We'll now take a look at those top headlines and many more in detail.
National News.
Brought to you by Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline, now flies direct Bangkok to the Maldives four times a week.
Welcome to the Midday News Hour, now live streaming from our Facebook page, and first up in our national news. The Royal Thai Police, or RTP, recently unveiled new directives to officers nationwide during a police commission meeting, following the reassignment of its Commissioner General and its deputy amidst a dispute over an online gambling case. Prime Minister Sethat Huisin underscored the need for officers to foster unity and avoid division with the aim of serving the public while upholding the integrity and advancement of the institution of law enforcement. The Prime Minister also addressed critical challenges that included enhancing tourist security while tackling online gambling, drug offenses, and illicit lending. In response to the controversy that prompted the high-level transfers, a fact-finding committee has been formed to investigate the matter. The Prime Minister assured that the inquiry will adhere to legal standards and pursue justice, acknowledging that uncovering the full truth may require time. The meeting delineated the RTP's strategic focus under the leadership of Acting Commissioner General, Police General Kitrat Panpin. It also highlights the preservation of public safety and assets, along with the promotion of harmony, care, and solidarity within the police force. Meanwhile, Deputy Interior Minister Chada Taisaid recently chaired the initial 2024 session of the subcommittee and working group dedicated to taking on influential figures. The meeting saw participation from representatives of government sectors, the working group, and distinguished experts. The session also offered a comprehensive review of operations over the last 3 months against influential individuals, categorized by color and province, demonstrating a collaborative approach across all sectors. Chada commended ongoing efforts to tackle drug-related influential figures, highlighting that in the previous 6 months, authorities confiscated up to 110 million methamphetamine tablets and brought numerous networks, accomplices, and individuals to justice. He also underscored the importance of intelligence work and coordinated operations as crucial elements in dismantling the network of influential figures. Plans are also underway for field operations targeting the influence of key figures in various regions. And now, His Majesty King Rama X has generously provided a painting crafted by his own hand, accompanied by a Thamma teaching named Thammanawawang, which emphasizes practices for overcoming suffering. The royal artwork incorporates practices for relief from suffering, methods to remember the triple gems of Buddhism comprising Buddha, Thamma, and Sangha, and the Four Noble Truths. These artworks by His Majesty can be freely downloaded from the official website of the Bureau of the Royal Household at royaloffice.th. Incorporating the Triple Gems and the Four Noble Truths into one's life offers a profound framework for peaceful living. The Triple Gem encourages reflection on the Buddhist enlightenment, and adherence to the Dhamma or his teachings, and support within the Sangha or the Buddhist faithful, fostering a mindset of mindfulness, ethical conduct, and community support. The Four Noble Truths serve as a guideline to understanding suffering, its origins, cessation, and the path leading to its end, offering a practical approach to navigating life's challenges with wisdom and compassion. And now, the Prime Minister's office has acknowledged a Sangha Supreme Council resolution launching a countrywide initiative for Buddhist chanting every Monday in anticipation of His Majesty the King's 72nd birthday anniversary on July 28th. Prime Minister's Office Minister Phuong Phet Chun Liet described the initiative as a fusion of Thailand's devout Buddhism with its long-standing admiration for the monarchy. The effort aims to bring together Buddhists in a collective act of merit-making for the king, a tradition deeply embedded in Thai culture and religion. The nationwide campaign was inaugurated on March 18th at Wat Si Khom Kham in Piao Province, with Minister Phuong Phet and other notable leaders from both the monastic community and laypersons leading a special ceremony. The ceremony was also attended by Public Relations Department Director General Sudhuthai Lutkasem, alongside numerous senior government officials. Religious leaders and community Buddhists joined in meditation and the chanting of scriptures. In line with the Sangha Supreme Council's directives, Thai temples around the world are invited to conduct similar celebrations for this significant event. Attendees are encouraged to wear yellow during these ceremonies, a color denoting respect for the monarchy. Furthermore, ceremonies will feature Thai poetry created to honor His Majesty, particularly on his birthday. Minister Phuong Phet noted the campaign serves to reinforce the spiritual ties between the people of Thailand and their sovereign, while also illustrating the enduring relationship between the nation's religious traditions and the monarchy. And finally, the Royal Thai Navy has dismissed the commander of the HTMS Chonburi following an accidental shelling incident at Sattahip Naval Base in Chonburi Province, which resulted in a fire on HTMS Kirirat and injuries to 14 crew members. The unfortunate event took place after a firing drill when a malfunction during the disarmament process of HTMS Chonburi's decades-old cannon led to an unintended discharge, striking HTMS Kirirat, which was docked nearby. The mishap, occurring on March 13th, left 5 crew members with serious injuries, primarily from smoke inhalation. The Royal Thai Navy revealed the incident's details in a press briefing, where Admiral Chatthai Thongsaat, Commander-in-Chief of the Royal Thai Fleet, confirmed that all affected personnel are currently in stable condition at Sirikit Hospital. Compensation has been provided to both the injured crew and those whose property was damaged. The accident has been attributed to a malfunction in the safety system of the 7662mm cannon aboard HTMS Chonburi, a weapon that is over 40 years old. Efforts to remove loaded shells from the cannon after the drill encountered difficulties, leading to the unexpected firing. HTMS Kirirat, the vessel damaged in the incident, is a 50-year-old patrol frigate constructed by the Norfolk Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Corporation in the USA and designed to engage air, surface, and submarine threats, or it was. This incident has prompted a review of the procedures and equipment used by the Royal Thai Navy to prevent future accidents. That wraps up the national headlines this midday. Next in global news. Britain's Princess Kate says she is undergoing preventive chemotherapy after tests taken following major abdominal surgery revealed the presence of cancer.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Think of Samui's blue waves that harmonize with the morning sun. Take snapshots of Angkor Wat with a tantalizing blue sky backdrop in Siem Reap. Think of Drat's beaches with a blue Hawaii cocktail in hand. Bangkok Airways is ready to fly you to your chosen domestic or international destination. Let the color blue bring you ultimate happiness. Bangkok Airways Boutique Blue. Call 1771 or visit bangkokair.com. Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline.
Ski powdery slopes at Stevens Pass. Sit out in search of whales from Seattle waterfront or simply enjoy a good brew in one of the world's coffee capitals. There are so many reasons to fly EVA Air to Seattle. Whether looking for natural adventure on Mount Rainier or a lively art scene in Capitol Hill, Seattle is always ready to surprise. EVA Air serves 10 flights weekly from Bangkok to Seattle. Book now at evaair.com. Take me there, EVA Air.
Get ready to immerse yourself in the vibrant celebrations of Songkran as Thailand sets the stage for the Maha Songkran World Water Festival 2024, happening from April 11th to 15th, right in the hearts of Bangkok. Prepare to be enchanted by over 20 magnificent parade floats, showcasing the beauty and uniqueness of Thai Songkran traditions. So mark your calendars and get ready to make a splash at the Maha Songkran World Water Festival.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Global News.
Brought to you by EVA Air. Sharing the world, flying together.
You are listening to the Midday News here on Radio Thailand. We broadcast live from FM 88 and online at nbt.prd.go.th. Let's take a look at the global issues this lunchtime. At least 40 people were killed and over 100 injured when gunmen in camouflage clothing opened fire with automatic weapons on people at a concert in the Crocus City Hall near Moscow on Friday, according to Russia's FSB Security Service. In one of the worst such attacks in Russia in years, at least 5 gunmen were shown in unverified videos, firing repeatedly at screaming civilians cowering in the concert hall as Soviet-era rock group Picnic was about to perform. The 6,200-seat concert hall in a suburb west of Moscow, which is near a shopping mall also called Crocus City, was sold out for the performance. Other video footage showed the men shooting people below what looked like an entrance sign to Crocus City Hall. People lying motionless in pools of blood outside the hall were also visible. Flames leapt into the sky and plumes of black smoke rose above the venue as hundreds of blue lights from emergency vehicles flashed in the night. Russian media reported that helicopters sought to douse the flames and evacuate around 100 people from the basement. State news agency RIA said the roof of the venue was collapsing. Russian media also reported a second blast at the venue, and there were reports that some of the gunmen had barricaded themselves in the building. It was not immediately clear who the attackers were. No group had yet claimed responsibility, and Russia's foreign ministry said it was a bloody terrorist attack. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Embassy in Russia warned that extremists had imminent plans for an attack in Moscow. And now, Britain's Princess Catherine of Wales, also known as Princess Kate, has said she is undergoing preventive chemotherapy after tests taken following major abdominal surgery in January revealed the presence of cancer. The 62-year-old wife of heir to the throne Prince William called the cancer discovery a huge shock. The news comes as a fresh health blow to the British royal family, as King Charles is also undergoing treatment for cancer. Princess Kate spent 2 weeks in hospital in January after undergoing what her office said at the time was a successful planned surgery for an unspecified but non-cancerous condition. However, the princess said in a video message that subsequent tests had detected the presence of cancer. She nevertheless said she was well and getting stronger. Following her operation, the palace had said the princess would not return to official duties until after Easter, which falls at the end of the month. However, her absence from public life has provoked intense speculation and wild rumors on social media. The 75-year-old King Charles underwent a corrective procedure for an enlarged prostate at the same hospital as Princess Kate in January. Buckingham Palace then revealed in February that he was to have treatment for cancer, meaning he had to postpone his public royal duties. A Buckingham Palace spokesperson said, quote, "His Majesty is so proud of Catherine for her courage in speaking as she did," end quote, adding that King Charles had been in close contact with the princess since they were at the private London clinic together in January. The palace added that both their majesties will continue to offer their love and support to the whole family through this difficult time. Prince Harry, who has fallen out with William since he moved to California with his wife Meghan, sent a message of support. Meanwhile, in the U.S. city of Los Angeles, an armed man purportedly hijacked a country transit bus late on Wednesday, leading to a series of collisions and a final crash into a hotel. The Los Angeles Police Department reported that the incident started when the man boarded the bus, threatening the driver. The hijacker, implying possession of a gun, took control of the bus by grabbing the steering wheel. This action caused the bus to hit several vehicles and ultimately crash into a Ritz-Carlton hotel, injuring one vehicle occupant. Authorities later apprehended the suspect, charging him with kidnapping. A BB gun, which resembled a handgun, was found near the scene. The bus driver received hospital treatment and was released, while the injured motorist remains in stable condition. The identities of those involved have not been disclosed. The incident caused significant damage, including a hole in the hotel's wall, and raised concerns over public transportation safety in the area. Officials from 36 countries and organizations have met to discuss ways of maximizing aid to Gaza through the Cyprus Sea Corridor. Representatives from the United Nations, or UN, the European Union, the G7, and non-governmental organizations involved in the handling and dispatch of aid supplies to Gaza attended the meeting. Cypriot Foreign Minister Konstantinos Kombos said in Larnaca, where the aid operation is based, that the officials discussed ways to improve the operation in terms of aid delivery, transport, and distribution. The officials also discussed the establishment of a fund to finance the operation. According to local media, Cyprus has agreed with Israel on the lifting of a naval blockade imposed in 2007 to facilitate aid shipment to Gaza. The first aid consignment through the Cyprus Sea Corridor left for Gaza on March 17th. UN agencies and aid organizations have expressed concern about an imminent famine in Gaza. The organizations have pointed out that the quantity of aid permitted by Israel to enter Gaza falls short of the need. And finally, in our global news segment, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi met with visiting U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Thursday to discuss the escalating situation in Gaza. The Egyptian presidency said the talks, which were also participated in by Egypt's Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry and Intelligence Chief Abbas Kamel, focused on the conflict in Gaza and efforts to mediate a ceasefire and prisoner exchange. According to the presidency's statement, al-Sisi emphasized the urgent need for a ceasefire, citing a humanitarian crisis and famine in the besieged coastal territory that threatens civilian lives, particularly in the city of Rafah, where nearly 1.5 million Palestinian refugees are seeking sanctuary. Al-Sisi said the besieged seaside enclave and its residents have been exposed to a humanitarian catastrophe and famine that threatens the lives of innocent civilians, warning against the serious repercussions of any military operation in Rafah. The Egyptian president called for immediate action to facilitate the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza and reaffirmed the necessity of pursuing a political solution to establish an independent Palestinian state within the 1967 borders, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Blinken commended Egypt's role in promoting peace and expressed Washington's desire for continued coordination with Cairo to enhance regional stability and security. The presidency statement concluded that both parties agreed on the importance of ensuring humanitarian aid delivery to Gaza and oppose any form of Palestinian displacement. According to U.S. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller, Secretary of State Blinken's visit to Cairo follows his trip to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where discussions centered on advancing a Gaza ceasefire, securing the release of Hamas captives, and bolstering international humanitarian efforts. And those were global reports. Still to come in our business section. Airbus clinches orders for 65 jets from two of Boeing's key Asian customers, and a win for the European plane maker as its U.S. rival grapples with quality issues.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Whether to Asia, Europe, or the USA from Bangkok, flying with EVA Air means flying an elevated journey of comfort. Passengers flying Royal Laurel Class, EVA Infinity, Mileage Lands, Diamond, Gold, or Silver members, and Star Alliance Gold Card members are welcomed to access the EVA Air Bangkok Airport Lounge. Certified 5-star by Skytrax in 2023 for its striking design, ample facilities, and excellent service, the lounge is located in Zone F on the third floor of Suvarnabhumi Airport and is open daily from 6 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. In the air, Infinity Mileage Lands members who booked through the EVA website or mobile app receive 50 megabytes of free in-flight Wi-Fi. Have a wonderful journey from start to arrival. EVA Air, sharing the world, flying together.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Business News.
In today's business reports, trade officials in Thailand are showcasing lifestyle and fashion items from local enterprises at the Style Bangkok Expo, which was hosted by the Department of International Trade Promotion, or DITP, at the Queen Sirikit National Convention Center in Bangkok. The event was inaugurated by Prime Minister Sethat Weesin. During the opening ceremony, the premier reiterated the government's dedication to positioning Thailand as a leading hub for fashion and lifestyle products in Southeast Asia to complement its soft power strategy. Style Bangkok 2024 adopts the chic nature theme, featuring designs that draw inspiration from the simplicity and elegance of nature. The event showcases a diverse range of lifestyle, fashion, and craft products, attracting participants from Thailand, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Japan, Norway, and Australia. Those interested can participate in the event until March 24th. The DITP expects the expo to generate approximately 1.6 billion baht in sales as it aims for a 2% increase in fashion product exports this year, targeting a total export value of 323.3 billion baht. And now, Airbus has clinched orders for 65 jets from two of Boeing's key Asian customers, and a win for the European plane maker as its U.S. rival grapples with quality issues following a mid-flight panel blowout on a 737 MAX 9 jet. The orders are a blow to Boeing, which is struggling with a sprawling manufacturing crisis that has caused it to limit narrow-body jet production, making it harder to catch up to its European rival. Japan Airlines said it would buy 21 wide-body A350-900 and 11 A321neo narrow-body jets from Airbus, which will provide smaller single-aisle jets to the longtime Boeing customer for the first time. The order from Japan's second-largest airline allows Airbus to grow its foothold on a part of its rival's turf, following a breakthrough first order of A350 wide-body or twin-aisle jets used on longer international routes just over a decade ago. JAL also said it would buy 10 Boeing 787 Dreamliner jets. South Korea's largest carrier, Korean Air, meanwhile, said it would order 33 A350s in a $13.7 billion U.S. dollar deal, its first purchase of the aircraft family, as it prepares for a merger with Asiana Airlines, another South Korean air carrier. Boeing and Airbus do not publish current list prices for their aircraft. Airbus has been steadily growing single-aisle market share with its A321neo in the wake of multiple crises involving the Boeing 737 MAX, including two fatal crashes in 2018 and 2019. Following the January 5th panel blowout on an Alaska Airlines flight, Boeing is facing probes into the company's safety and quality standards, and its production has been curbed by regulators. Deals for plane orders typically take months to negotiate. Meanwhile, Japanese firms have agreed to pay by 5.25% this year, the biggest rise under comparable data since 2013, according to the country's largest union group, Rengo. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida is counting on high wage growth to overcome more than two decades of deflationary pressures, while Bank of Japan Governor Kazuo Ueda is seeking sustainable wage growth and inflation as the central bank shifts away from massive monetary stimulus. The results of the closely watched wage negotiations are announced in several stages, in which blue-chip firms are first to wrap up their talks in mid-March. The second announcement on the outcome of annual labor talks on Friday was little change from a preliminary figure of 5.28% a week ago, indicating the strength of wage growth. The agreed hike of 5.25% corresponds to an average rise of 16,379 yen, or 108 U.S. dollars a month. As a number of companies, small firms in particular, reach agreements on pay towards April to June, the average growth of pay hikes tend to become smaller than the initial round, as more announcements become available. Further results are scheduled to be released on April 4th and April 18th, when more small firms come up with their results. Earlier this year, analysts had expected an overall pay rise of about 4% after last year's 3.6% rise, itself a three-decade high. Rengo said workers at major firms had asked for annual salary increases of 5.85%, topping the 5% mark for the first time in 30 years. Stripping away a periodic pay raise, Rengo said workers won a 3.64% hike, a record rate in base pay, which is a key barometer of wage strength as it provides the basis for bonuses, severance, and pensions. Circling back to Thailand, at the Prachachad Business Forum 2024, under the theme Navigating the Storm of Change, Subhachai Jirawanon, CEO of Thai conglomerate CP Group, discussed the recent announcement by the Bank of Thailand, or BOT, that permits the private sector to seek branchless bank licenses. He said the CP Group, in collaboration with True Money, is gearing up to embark on this virtual bank venture. The CEO clarified that while a formal agreement with other private entities to establish a digital bank remains pending, CP Group is actively preparing for the licensing process. The CEO highlighted the shift among financial service providers towards embracing novel financial technologies, or fintech. Furthermore, he observed an increasing interest among banks and financial institutions in founding digital banks, saying these would enhance capital accessibility for underserved communities. He also pointed out that the global challenge, where approximately 1.7 billion individuals lack banking facilities, contrasting with Thailand's progression towards an era of 5.0, a society driven by new technology advancements such as artificial intelligence. Subhachai elaborated that the marketplace evolves towards greater reliance on cloud data, mobile applications, digital workforces, and digital innovation. Societal adaptation is necessary. And finally, in our business segment, the Thai government remains committed to implementing digital wallet scheme, despite concerns raised by several agencies. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Commerce, Phumthamwichyachai, has confirmed that the government's intention to proceed with the digital wallet initiative, highlighting it as a crucial policy previously announced to Parliament. He acknowledged the careful planning behind the policy, but suggested the timing for its launch may need reassessment. This statement followed advice from Somkit Tangkitwanit, president of the Thailand Development Research Institute, or TDRI, which recommended a reevaluation of the project due to potential inefficacies. Minister Bhumtham expressed openness to diverse viewpoints, emphasizing that constructive criticism is welcome. He announced an upcoming comprehensive meeting of the Digital Wallet Policy Committee set after parliamentary budget debates, aiming to clarify the initiative's future path. As for the implementation timeline, the Minister of Commerce indicated that the government's desire to launch the stipend program promptly with ongoing deliberations about its financing. The digital wallet stipend, initially proposed by the Pleutai Party during its electoral campaign, promises a 10,000 baht fund to each qualifying individual, aiming to significantly stimulate the economy. Moreover, the Ministry of Commerce has convened a meeting with personnel from its provincial offices seeking feedback to transform the ministry into a more contemporary entity. The ministry views its provincial commercial affairs offices as vital to identifying locally sourced products with substantial potential. These offices are tasked with forecasting local market trends through data analytics to enable proactive planning that could mitigate forthcoming challenges. And those were our business news stories this afternoon. Next, we have more of Radio Thailand News.
This is Radio Thailand News.
Like the FM 88 Radio Thailand English Service and Radio Thailand World Service Facebook pages. Publicly like our reward posts. Share hashtag RTH World Service, hashtag FM 88, and hashtag Radio Thailand. And comment on why you love listening to FM 88. Or follow at Radio Thailand World on TikTok. Repost our pinned post and write a comment on why you love the Radio Thailand World TikTok. Chosen users win a prize. Join in while they last.
Supporting cultural creators in the kingdom, Thailand is contributing to the soft power of all of ASEAN. Ranked second in the region on the Global Soft Power Index, Thailand is committed to uplifting its sources of soft power, the five Fs of food, film, fashion, fighting, and festivals, so ASEAN may stand even taller on the international stage.
The government of Thailand is committed to eradicating corruption and misconduct from all sectors, including within official agencies. All government agents are instructed to not fall victim to corruption schemes and to never take advantage of the public, whether citizens or visitors to the country. By starting with civil servants, the government affirms that everyone is part of the fight against corruption.
Welcome to Uniquely Thailand, a program that brings you a great history, a wonderful culture, and one-of-a-kind performances from our beautiful nation. From the majestic five-star hotels in the capital, to simple mountainous resorts in the north. From the stunning plains and hills of the Golden Triangle, to the white sand beaches in the south. Thailand has so much to offer that one visit is never enough. Thai fabrics are Thai handicraft products that are indicative of the flourish of the Thai national culture and creativity of the nation in making products and clothes for daily use. Thai fabric is a hand-woven fabric produced in Thailand. It is a cultural heritage and unique to the Thai culture, and now has been famous throughout the world. Thai people have known to weave since prehistoric.
culture and society in the countryside are regarded as weaving is a woman's leisure after her main job, rice planting or farming. This is common to all regions of the country. Product development, design, pattern, and color of the fabric inherited a weaver's imagination and the influence of other factors. Thai fabrics are a core material in a cloth, and it is indicative of social status, including the position of the weaver in society. Hence, weaving can classify two main types of people. The first type for public people or citizens, the whole fabric used in daily life, and the fabric used on special occasions related to religious ceremony, carnival, festival, and important ceremonies. The second type for the privileged class, royalty, and majesty. Thai silk is produced from the cocoons of Thai silkworms. Thailand silkworm farmers cultivate two types of domesticated silkworms that produce commercial silk. The production of Thai silk begins with a small silkworm that comes from the eggs of a silk moth. For the first year, these worms feast on the leaves of mulberry trees before building a cocoon with their spittle. In its original cocoon form, raw silk is bumpy and irregular. Thai weavers separate the completed cocoons from the mulberry bush and soak them in boiling water to separate the silk thread from the caterpillar inside the cocoon. The Bombyx mori usually produces silk threads of varying colors, ranging from light gold to very light green, with lengths varying from 500 to 1,500 yards per cocoon. Many local operations use a reeling machine for this task, but the majority of most silk thread is still hand-reeled. The difference is that hand-reeled threads produce three grades of silk, two fine grades that are ideal for lightweight fabrics, and a thick grade for heavier material. You can see more contributions to Thai silk in the Queen Sirikit Museum of Textiles in Bangkok. The establishment of the museum in 2003 was to create public awareness of Thai identity and culture, and the beauty of Thai traditional textiles through research, exhibition, and interpretation. Kit is an ancient type of woven cloth produced in certain areas of Isan, the northeastern region of Thailand. Kit weaving is done by hand in traditional looms. It favors certain basic colors, like red, purple, and dark green, although other colors are also used. It includes geometric patterns in contrasting colors, usually a darker pattern over a light background, which appears to float over it. There are about 72 different patterns which are mostly geometrical, although some have recognizable shapes, like fish, elephants, or turtles. All patterns have specific traditional names. Kit is typical of Thailand's northeastern region. Kit cloth was used in the traditional local household dress, like the shoulder cloth, as well as for pillows and bed sheets. It was an ancestral custom for Isan girls to learn to weave kit cloth before getting married and produce some fine items for their future household. Nowadays, local style dress has fallen into disuse, and it is confined mostly to folkloric performances or ceremonial or formal wear for men and women. The kit weaving industry survives especially in Chaiyaphum, Udon Thani, Yasothon, as well as in Amnacharan, Kalasin, Mukdahan, Sisaket, and Ubon Ratchathani provinces. This ancient weaving tradition has been preserved mostly thanks to the support of Her Majesty Queen Sirikit, the Queen Mother, who has encouraged villagers to keep their traditions and sell them through the tourism-oriented handicraft marketing organizations. In certain rural areas, silk weaving has been revived since the Queen inaugurated training projects at Ditlada Palace in June 1977. The program includes mulberry tree cultivation, silkworm rearing, reeling, and weaving using a variety of weaving techniques. One of the main items sold nowadays to tourists is the kid pillow, where the patterns of traditional kid clothes are displayed. Mutmi refers to its style of weaving and not the thread or yarn composition of the fabric. It is a technique of hand weaving fabric on old wooden looms. Mutmi weaving is also known as igat weaving throughout the world. But in Thailand, the technique is referred to as mutmi weaving. Mutmi fabrics are created by using different colors on both the horizontal and vertical threads on a loom. The weaver can then create a desired fabric pattern from the multicolored threads that her loom has been strung with. The word mutmi is often translated to Thai dye or Thai threads, and its origin comes from Isan, which is northeast Thailand. Isan is where mutmi weaving was first developed and practiced in Thailand, and where today you will find the finest mutmi fabrics. Mutmi weaving is the oldest form of pattern weaving in Thailand and dates back approximately 3,000 years when sericulture was first introduced to this area. The women of ancient Siam, Sukhothai, Ayutthaya, and its satellite towns scattered across Isan wore mutmi sarongs that are similar in both techniques, color, and pattern to contemporary mutmi. Ancient mutmi fabrics used natural dyes to create their colorful patterns. You can still purchase mutmi that uses natural dyes, although these fabrics are far more expensive than ones that use commercial dyes. The problem with natural dyes is that you cannot wash or clean the mutmi without severely washing away the color, and therefore ruining your exquisite fabric. Mutmi patterns are also contemporary and always evolving. You can walk into many fabric shops in Isan and order a specific mutmi pattern. Or you can also sit down with a mutmi artisan and design a new pattern for yourself. Mutmi fabric can be either silk or cotton. Many would say that only silk is used to produce mutmi fabric, but of course, this is wrong. Most fabric shops throughout the kingdom will offer you a selection of mutmi fabric in both silk or cotton. In the 1950s, Queen Sirikit, the Queen Mother of Thailand, began to design and wear Thai silk gowns to important official occasions. She would even proudly wear mutmi silk, which was considered a fabric for poor rural women. The Queen employs a whole cadre of designers to create a line of traditional Thai gowns and outfits made from Thai silk, cotton, for ordinary Thai women. The Queen began sending Thai silks, including mutmi, to Parisian fashion designers at House of Balmain. The Paris designers made exquisite Thai silks couture for the Queen, which she would wear to elegant international social occasions. The world was being introduced to Thai silk for the first time. Queen Sirikit re-energized demand and respect for Thai silk. She also encouraged and helped village women to carry on their weaving traditions and sell their fabrics for secondary family income. A few years prior to the time that Queen Sirikit began designing and wearing Thai silk outfits, Jim Thompson opened the Thai Silk Company in Bangkok in 1948. He organized some of the few remaining silk weavers in Bangkok to begin producing for his company top-quality Thai silk. He organized sericultural operations in Nakhon Ratchasima province. Jim Thompson also designed striking Thai silk colors and motifs to bring recognition to the fabric. Thompson brought his Thai silk fabric to the publisher of Vogue in New York, who featured it in the magazine. Time magazine and other newspaper began publishing articles about Thai silk. A Broadway musical also used Thai silk for its costumes. Thai silk was becoming well-known throughout the world. Jim Thompson rallied the production of Thai silk and improved the quality of color and motif design. He was also a great salesman and introduced New York designers and others worldwide to Thai silk. The Thai government has organized farm extension programs to teach and train village farmers to be better sericulturists. The government has also developed new breeds of native Thai silkworms that produce better silk filaments and offer these new species to the villagers. The government has also developed better mulberry trees that produce more leaves and are more drought tolerant. Uniquely Thailand will return next time with more great stories, unforgettable cultural events, and memorable activities that can only be found in our beloved kingdom, the Land of Smiles. Thank you for joining us today. Sawadee krap.
Radio Thailand News.
Thailand Magazine.
Pitch a tent, catch some fish, start a fire, put shrimp on the barbie. It's camping time. Bang Ung Suphan in Suphanburi is officially known as Khao Wong Reservoir, but takes its nickname from the serene lake village of Bang Ung in Mae Hong Son. Like its northern namesake, Bang Ung Suphan lies in a peaceful lakeside forest. Visitors can rent floating bamboo pavilions and buy camping necessities from the nearby shop. Wake up to stunning sunrises on the water and wind down with a bit of fishing. But for those that prefer a bit of excitement on their camping getaway, you should check out the nearby Krasio Dam, another reservoir only 30 minutes away from Bang Ung Suphan. On the far end of the dam, local vendors have set up barbecue stalls, and banana boat operators are just itching to take our braver travelers for a joyride on the lake. So, for those who like to rough it in the great outdoors, think about roasting your marshmallows at Bang Ung Suphan. For more information, visit worldwideweb.tourismthailand.org.
A meeting organized by the 15th Army Circle, Internal Security Operations Command Region 4, unveiled plans for promoting peace and well-being in the southern border provinces for the year 2024. The gathering was held in Pathanit Province and brought together key security officials from Internal Security Operations Command, Provincial Police Region 9, and the National Police Office's Operations Center Front Division. Officials from Songkhla, Pathanit, Yala, and Narathiwat were all in attendance to receive policy on how to safeguard citizens of the South from strife and, more importantly, foster peace and harmony throughout the region. Firstly, security apparatus in the South acknowledged their readiness for prompt adjustments in operational plans. Notably, they would draw on past lessons. It was also recognized that successful collaboration among military and police forces should continue into 2024. Speakers at the meeting stressed the importance of conducting post-operation reviews to identify and rectify any issues that may arise. In particular, troop number adjustments both to reduce the presence of soldiers where not needed and to shore up security where necessary. It was underlined that planning would also continue to take place to safeguard military personnel. Made known to all attending was that discussions among the military, police, local authorities, and civilians are ongoing to ensure comprehensive security plans. It was stated that the situation in the Deep South is continuously being assessed, with a zoning system being used to categorize areas as green, yellow, or red based on security levels. Key to the meeting was a comprehensive evaluation of the security situation, emphasizing the commitment to prioritizing the safety and happiness of the residents in the southern border provinces. Officials addressing attendance and the media proclaimed that the military's ultimate goal is to create an environment free from conflict, ensuring the well-being of the local population and the ability of civilians to thrive in their home communities.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Sawadee, Thailand. This is Sawadee, Thailand. The Eastern Economic Corridor of Innovation, or EECI, is one of ASEAN's leading innovation hubs, located in the heart of the Eastern Economic Corridor, or EEC, in Rayong Province. It has a fully functional research and development infrastructure to support research aimed at streamlining the country's economy through bioeconomy, circular economy, and green economy, or BCG. EECI is home to the Biopolis compound, which is intended to provide an integrated ecosystem for biotechnology innovation and business developments. Biopolis will also encourage collaboration with national and international businesses to foster academic-to-business and business-to-business relationships. The Biopolis complex includes world-class facilities designed for industrial collaboration in order to break down traditional barriers between laboratory and commercial applications. ASEAN's first biorefinery pilot plant is among the many facilities. The multi-purpose biorefinery infrastructure, which is a non-proprietary equipment platform, enables users to reconfigure the equipment lineup arrangements, as well as adjust process parameters to extreme values to find the best process conditions. This one-of-a-kind platform enables clients to scale up and validate their laboratory-scale prototypes and conducts a techno-economic feasibility study before investing in a dedicated industrial production line. The infrastructure will include two main pilot plants, one non-GMP and one GMP. The non-GMP facility will serve the bio-based industry, which involves biochemicals, biomaterials, and other relevant bioproducts, whereas the GMP facilities will focus on food, feed, cosmetics, and nutraceuticals. Waste will be converted into a resource for producing high-value products via a biorefining process. In 2024, the biorefinery pilot plants will be fully operational. Infrastructure such as smart greenhouses and plant factories will also be housed in the Biopolis complex. Smart greenhouses incorporate advanced phenomics technology, which characterizes crop performance by combining image analysis, digital technology, and automation. Phenomics provides a set of new technologies for monitoring plant function in response to various environmental conditions or in controlled environments, such as a greenhouse. Because the sampling is non-invasive, it will save time, space, money, and waste. Plant factories are indoor crop production systems combining multiple technologies, including big data analytics, robotics, lightning, and water filtration to maximize plant quality and yield. The Thai government has tasked the National Science and Technology Development Agency, or NSTDA, with overseeing the overall operation of EECI. Sawasdee Thailand will return next time with exciting information about other places and events in our lovely kingdom that you might want to check out or even talk to friends about. And don't forget to keep that trouble spirits of yours going. Until then, Sawasdee Krap.
For the advancement of ASEAN as a community, Thailand is not only supporting and promoting digital cooperation, introducing and adopting innovations that improve digital connections in the region, but giving attention to the sustainability of these developments. Encouraging a care economy as much as online communication, Thailand is aiding ASEAN to not only prosper, but thrive into the future. A land of golden temples and ornate mosques, beliefs and rituals, travelers seeking spirituality will find uplifting experiences in Thailand. Supporting all faiths, Thailand offers a wide variety of destinations and opportunities to learn about religions and their practices, with each community welcoming and open to travelers. Pay respect for greater merit or gain deeper insight into different beliefs. Faith tourism is diverse and dynamic in Thailand.
Each location and region in Thailand is home to its own unique produce, crafts, performances, and activities, providing an attractive spin to functions and events. Whether employing traditional Thai hospitality to accommodate attendees, or using Thailand's colorful culture to bring life to an exhibition, organizers will find Thailand is an amazing venue, able to elevate happenings to new heights.
Part of the Thai government's aim to better social development in the kingdom, efforts are being made to uplift and ensure equality for all. From different physical abilities to occupations and cultures, government projects and programs are spreading awareness that everyone in Thailand is entitled to fair and equal treatment. So Thailand can stride onward with unity. Equality is a key national policy.
Get ready to immerse yourself in the vibrant celebrations of Songkran as Thailand sets the stage for the Maha Songkran World Water Festival 2024, happening from April 11th to 15th, right in the hearts of Bangkok. Prepare to be enchanted by over 20 magnificent parade floats, showcasing the beauty and uniqueness of Thai Songkran traditions. So mark your calendars and get ready to make a splash at the Maha Songkran World Water Festival.
And that's where we wrap up the Midday News Hour for Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. Our next news hour is at 7 p.m. tonight, but you can catch Radio Thailand's hourly news for updates throughout the day.